Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA. I'm telling you right now, we're going to have two hosts for this segment of the program. I'll mention myself in case the co-host of this segment leaves me out. And he is Mike Benn, who is, how do we even describe Mike Benn? Native of Limerick. So, for once, Limerick people hear that, they nearly say, is not good enough. But he is indeed he's a community activist and chairman of the Queen's County St. Patrick's Day Parade. St. Patrick's Day Parade being the second largest parade in second only to New York City's St. Patrick's Day Parade on Fifth Avenue. Depending on who you speak with in Rockaway, there are those who refer to Mike Benn as the mayor of Rockaway, and then there's another crowd that says he should be the mayor of Rockaway. But anyway, Mike Benn, you're very welcome.
Adrian, thank you. Boy, I tell you, it's funny, but I'm sitting here smiling away. But thank you for those accolades, Adrian.
Now, listen, you deserve them all. We've indeed been friends for a long time, and we've covered a lot of events, some of them indeed very joyous, and some of the worst situations, and I think listeners to this program will know that you know, if and when there is something that affects a huge Irish American community in the Rockaways, or indeed in that general area, Mike Benn is the person who has his finger on the pulse. And, of course, our first contact when Hurricane Sandy came and wreaked the worst havoc that the East Coast of the United States could have in history. And I don't think that's too much of an exaggeration. Mike Benn was somehow, when there was no communication in or out of the Rockaway area, Mike Benn, maybe it's because he runs, he has a very longest running cable TV program serving Queens and Long Island and other places. You found a way to get to us and on the air, and I think that was probably one of the most poignant moments of broadcast, because what you were describing was something that we couldn't fathom. We could not possibly imagine, but you should know all about it. You were in the middle of it.
It's how true, Adrian. Even though we lived it, we still didn't even believe it. You know, I mean, how we got out, I really don't know, and how you got in, I really don't know.
Yeah.
But through the grace of God, I mean, we were able to get the message out there. And, you know, the community, the Irish community overall is very grateful to you and your program for all the, you know, for all the publicity that, and you were, people didn't have any iota of what occurred in the Rockaways. At the time we were speaking, right, Rockaway was completely devastated. I mean, devastated.
Right.
You had 50-foot sections of boardwalk that were up the block. It looked like somebody just got a bomb and dropped it right in the middle of us. Yeah. The ocean surged up, and that was it. Everybody was wiped out.
The devastation which you described actually only got worse with the passage of time. And it would be great if we could say, welcome you back today and say, well, thank God, everything is all right, and Rockaway will be in great shape by the summer. Not realistic.
Not realistic at all, Adrian. It ain't going to happen. But you know what? And this is we're grateful tonight to be here with you. One of the topics, even though everybody's down at Rockaway's, Mike, we got to have the parade. The parade has to go on.
Yeah.
The parade, I mean, here everybody's worried. They have no lights, no power in their houses.
Yeah.
And everybody says, we're having the parade this year. We're having the parade. Definitely, yeah. We're going to have the parade this year. Everybody wants it. People in the community that have been so devastated, they want to look forward. They have something to look forward to. They look forward to it every year, but especially more this year. You know, especially more this year.
There is somebody who indeed, for as far back as we can remember, has been one of the strongest leaders in our community. And indeed, when we speak of unions and the power of the unions, the success of unions, as with many other things, we get a bit ruffled when people refer to unions and the significance of unions in past tense. You couldn't associate that with our guest this morning here. Officially, he's John T. Ahern. And I was surprised to find that, actually, in a note that was handed to me, because we never knew him as anything else other than Jack Ahern. He is a business manager of the International Union of Operating Engineers, and he has his involvement, and now I'm going to read it because and I'm actually going to cherry pick here. Elected trustee of the International Union of Operating Engineers, the trustee of the IUOE, Northeastern Conference. He also vice chairperson of the New York City Municipal Labor Committee, executive board member of New York Building Congress, member of the board of Molloy College. And then we can skip to page 2 and be sure we mention that he is indeed a very significant and supportive board member of Emerald Isle Immigration Center. Jack Ahern, you're very welcome.
Oh, Adrian, it's great to be here with you. And thank you very much for such a nice introduction.
Yeah, well, this other stuff here, I know you had your first communion, and you were the leader of the pack. But actually, I want you to address, what I had mentioned there, which must be very irritating to you and indeed to leaders of unions, is that, it's somewhat like a song which I have a problem with and I don't play it, when New York was Irish and whatever, as if we had to go back in history for that. The truth of the matter is that unions today, and yours in particular, Local 30 of the operating engineers, is very strong, and God knows, without the clout that unions still have, not just in our section, but across this country here, we would be in very bad shape.
Yeah. Well, I think you hit on a particular point. There is a very self-serving message by a very small portion of our society that would like to downplay working people, that would like to downplay the middle class, that would like to have you believe that there's only a few high flyers that define
yeah.
America, and that part of that message is to really do whatever damage they can to the labor movement, because the labor movement really is the representative of working people, the only voice that working people have, and a true road to the middle class. For a lot of working people, I'd say all working people, particularly in the United States, but really across the world, without a labor union to help you, it's very difficult to become middle class.
And it's also, of course, very easy to target the labor movement, and have that same group that you just referred to somehow want to shift the blame for economic woes and say, well, that's what you get, you know, when you kowtow to unions. Irritating, yes, but can you just address for us, because it is unions and the strength of the in numbers, a good job has been done through the years in, again, trying to limit or, in many cases, allow the work of unions to be, thanks to the advent of television in particular, to be there at times, and I don't want to get into specifically the school bus strike for the moment, but definitely it does look like any time you can take a good whack at the unions, it's great entertainment because of the power of the picket line.
Well, I think, Adrian, that there's been a concerted effort over the past, I would say, at least 10 years, but it may go back even further than that, to make it sound as if it's a crime for somebody to have benefits, to make it sound as if a crime if somebody has a pension. If working people are looking to make themselves a little bit better, it seems to be a problem. And you don't have to just mention the school bus strike. But you need to look just a little bit below the surface. There's over 400,000 city workers right now that have been without a contract for anywhere between 2 years and 3 years.
Right.
And unfortunately, nothing has been done in city government to address that. That means there's been no increase for 400,000 New Yorkers, many of whom live in the city of New York, all of whom are part of our fabric of society that keep New York running. And it's been proved time and time again who have worked without an increase for 3 years. There has been no strike. There has been comments in the press, but yet they're drowned out by the fact that some voices in the press and some of our politicians are trying to make it seem as if the economic woes that we have, the hardships we have, are the fault of the very people that make our city what it is.
I can't let this one go because it is probably a thing that jumps out at me with respect to, again, by way of example, the school bus strikers. To have somebody in a job for, many of them for a lifetime, many of them having a few years left before they retire, and saying to them, well, you know, tough, you know, our obligation is to seek companies and to get the job done cheapest way possible. If you're on the for an employer, if you're a government official, that sounds pretty good. I mean, let's face it, why wouldn't you? However, to jeopardize a group of people who really won't have any place else to go, either because of, most of them because they are in the waning years. Mm-hmm. Some indeed would be considered not great candidates because of all these benefits, etc., that they have earned. Some would say duly, and others would say, well, they were overpaid to begin with. Either way, though, that is a sticking point, that you don't have to be a huge pro-labor activist. Just take that one point and say, well, you know, there's something wrong with that system, because if that were to work, say, for the school bus drivers, than across the board. Why not, you know, put everything out to bid?
Well, Agent, it's a poor place to start for the race to the bottom. I mean, I could tell you for one myself, I would not want to be a school bus driver, all right, although I put my kids on school buses when they were of age, and most of us have at one time or another. The fact of the matter is this is a very responsible position. Not everybody is adequately able to handle it. Then to look at that job and say, well, listen, we may be able to do it a little bit cheaper, a little bit better. We'll get rid of the people that have been doing it, the people who have been successful doing it, the people who have done it for years, that are familiar with it, that have been vetted to do this, that we trust with our children. And to save a couple of dollars, we want to replace them. I believe that there's a middle ground. I have to tell you, I believe, unfortunately, that there's a mindset with some of the politicians in this city, but across the country, that it's a winner-take-all game. And I think that they're not living up to what their job is. They're not living up to the trust that we put in them when they were elected by the population that said, you're to represent everybody. You're not to represent one little section of the population. You're supposed to represent everybody. And I believe there's a middle ground here. And I think something has to be recognized that these people have done a good job.
Mm-hmm. And also, and I promise we'll move on from this, but, you know, with 400,000 plus, and the list is growing, those in the labor movement who do not have a contract, what is and how true is the perception that at this stage of the game, we might as well let it ride for another year and wait until we have a new mayor?
There is a thought that, just wait it out and see what's happening.
But that's a hell of a way.
It's a terrible situation for a number of reasons. And it's terrible for us as a city because no money is being put aside, you know, for that increase in the future. So whoever the new mayor is going to come in already in the hole with a workforce that's unhappy with 3 years without an increase. It's a very reckless path that our present mayor, Bloomberg, has let us down. While he may feel and he may hide behind the fact that he's saving some money, I have to tell you quite frankly, Adrian, and I'm a person that likes to support politicians that support working people, whether they be Democrats or Republicans. But if you don't behave responsibly, and I have to tell you, if you don't have an increase for 3 years or 2 years for 400,000 people and you don't put aside some money to give them an increase coming forward, I don't believe you're behaving responsibly. And I think it puts our city in a tough position, and it puts our working people in a tough position because these are the people that are spending money in the city, that are supporting the stores, that are supporting the services, that these are people that the money they make, these are not multimillionaires that are taking their checks and hiding them away in Swiss bank accounts. They go to the corner banks. They go to the corner delis. They go to the supermarkets. They buy their shoes. They buy their clothes. They buy their cars in our city. And besides doing that, they make the city run, whether they be a bus driver or they be a cop or a fireman or a construction worker or any of the other city workers in the city hospitals or the schools. And a point should be made that the school bus drivers, okay, that are on strike right now are not city workers. Those are private industry workers that are contracted that the city said, we're going to save money by instead of having them city workers, we'll contract out to have them be contracted workers and private employers, and now they're looking to save money once again. And I don't feel that that's responsible behavior for what should be done.
Mike Benn, I was doing fine there until he went after...
That's fine, Adrian.
Bloomberg. Jeez. Anyway, we will... There's so much in what you're saying, and definitely to somebody who is or who has come through and for generations before through the labor movement, what you are saying is very understandable, and again without delving into it further. I think the most disturbing aspect of all of that is, where does it stop?
Yeah.
If you're going to have union members saying, okay, so we haven't had a contract for 3 years, okay, so we want to have one for 4 years, and then everything else is going to happen, and everything is going to be jolly, wrong, because that's nothing in the kitty,
yeah.
And that's where it is. I want to come back to you, Mike Benn, because, for a couple of reasons. First and foremost, perhaps one of the areas where we see great strength and cooperation is personified by the tragedy. And you know, friends, excuse us when we take Rockaway and Breezy Point in that area. Does not mean that we don't have equal concern for many of the areas, the coastal areas, but I think Rockaway might be a good place to start because it mirrors and it gives us a focus point on a particular Irish-American, Irish and Irish-American community that actually has been to the fore in helping and in being of tremendous support all over New York City. I don't think, Mike Benn, that you or many people would have imagined that you would be in need to the extent that this disaster brought on Rockaway, and that you would have to look to see where your friends are, particularly those who have been the beneficiary of a lot of the goodwill and practical support that came from those areas.
Well, Edwin, you brought up a great point, a lot of good points, and listening to Jack here. first off, I'd like to mention the fact that we selected this year to lead our parade as the Grand Marshal, John O'Haron, okay? I know we're going to go into that in a minute, but the reason I brought that up now is because the Jacks, we've always been a labor-orientated parade for the 20-odd years that I'm involved with the parade. But you mentioned about the devastation in the Rockaways. Now, our former Grand Marshal of the parade in 2008 was James Callahan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And Queens, his local 15 in Queens, and the operating engineers. He happens to be right now the general president of the International Union of Operating mm-hmm. Engineers. And his home now is in Washington, D.C. Okay? But they were one, and Jack O'Haron with Local 30, business manager, Local 30, International Union of Operating Engineers, have a high volume of people in the Breezy Point, Rockaway, Brooklyn.
Right.
You know, all the coastal regions, unfortunately, that were so hit and hammered by the hurricane. But yet, Adrian, you spoke about the output of affection, the output of love, we say, and I'm not big into this, but this is my best way of saying it. The outpouring of affection from all areas of the community, all areas of the Irish community, people come up to me, far from Irish, to say, I can't believe it, man. Where are all these people? I said, they're all down here volunteering. Okay, Jack was down in the Rockaways. The International Union of Operating Engineers, is it okay if I mention this, Jack?
Yeah, like
okay, they set up a relief fund for the members that was devastated in the Rockaways, and they issued a check. I won't mention the amount.
Yeah.
Jack can mention that if he wants. They gave a check to the members to help out. They not alone did that, but they went house to house down there of all the members and non-members that was around the areas, and they distributed goods, services, whatever that was needed, they were there. voluntarily there, Adrian, like yourself with your program. You're talking about the with Noel Kilkenny, our Consul General in New York here, and Peter Ryan, the Deputy Consul General. They were everywhere. They weren't alone in the Rockaways. They were all areas. Brian O'Dwyer with the Emerald Isle Immigration Center and the Ashling Irish Center.
Right.
They had people down there by
York
the bus.
And
the New York Irish Center. Busloads of people coming down. And where do you want us to go? What do you want us to do?
Right.
And here they are in... I mean, we mentioned before about the buildings in the Rockaways. People walked from floor to floor to floor. No power, no elevators in the building. They walked up, knocked at the doors. We got tea, coffee, we got water, we got soda, whatever you want. Right. What do you need? We got it for you.
And taking nothing away, because this, I would say, is typical. But we saw and continue to see... members of your union, Jack, who, in addition to holding their own jobs, are still volunteering, are still going into those areas. And you could say the same about cops, of firemen, of first responders, of all of those people who themselves... either in their immediate families or their extended families, have plenty of reason, just at this stage of the game, to take care of themselves. Because God knows, waiting the monies that was supposed that most people in catching up with media would assume that a lot of the money from the federal government, there must be a huge hole in that by now. The fact of the matter is there's no hole in there because we didn't get it yet. Yeah. But there is where you have the community spirit, and there is where you have, a typical reaction to a crisis. And... not peculiar to yours, but your union, the IUOE membership, didn't lose any time in showing up, and not because their fellow members are there, but they know what it's like when things get rough, and you don't have time to wait and see what kind of help is going to come, because in a crisis you need help then, not down the road.
Well, Adrian, the storm wasn't over, and my phone at home and my phone in the office was ringing off the hook with members calling saying, Jack, we got to do something. And that quickly turned into, Jack, listen, we're heading down to Rockaway. We're heading out to Long Beach. We're going over to Coney Island. You know, I can't believe the desert, you know, what's going on, the destruction that's happened here. We're going down to Breezy Point. We know that some of those people got burnt out of their houses. And I would say a good number of the calls, not all the calls, but a good number of them were from people in the Rockaway community, people in the Breezy Point community, people in the communities that were hardest hit, that came together and said, hey, I'm going to make sure I go over to Mike's house to make sure he's free to go to work and that there's somebody there watching the house. I have a generator I'm going to put over there to make sure he has some lights. We have an opportunity to bring a couple of pumps that we're going to bring over and pump out the basement and get the job done. And, Jack, the union has to do this, and the union has to do more. And frankly, Adrian, I'm running to get in front of them. You know, I mean, I'm running to be in the front of the pack, to be a leader with them, because the feeling, and I think it's an example and a credit to the Rockaway community, that a lot of the guys suffered the destruction themselves, and at the same time were reaching out not only to take care of themselves and their family, but reaching out to somebody they thought maybe would be a little bit worse off than themselves. We rapidly had
And you didn't have to go far in any of those areas that you have mentioned to find somebody actually that was worse off.
I think it's a credit to the Irish community, particularly in Rockaway, that there wasn't any exclusion of anyone. If there was somebody that needed a hand on the block, if there was somebody that needed a hand with a car, if there was somebody that was having trouble getting to work, they were there to help them, whether or not they knew who they were, as long as they were a person that was trying to do a little bit better. You know, in our own local, we have what we call a charity fund, a 30 for 30 fund, that each member would donate $30 as a member of Local 30 to give to people that had problems in time of need. And I have to tell you, we had a number of members, you know, some of whom are starting out or apprentices that donated $1,000. And I was taken back by not only the donations of money, but the donations of times, offers to let me help this guy and work for him. We put together gangs of guys that went down to Rockaway, went down to Breezy Point, to bring like little care packages, to bring pumps and generators down and to help out. And when they were on the block, I said to them, anyone that's on that block that needs a hand that's there, you know, make sure you go down, knock on the door and see if they need a hand. There's something we can do. You know, even if it was just a pair of work gloves or a couple of extension cords. And that's what really counts, you know.
Now, again, your union, though, has had the reputation, and indeed some other unions, but yours in particular has had the reputation of providing training, employment, apprenticeships, and a great background in the trades. And that is something that didn't start when Jack Ahern came through the door. That is indeed, and you would know that from your own background, from your own family.
Right. We have, Local 30 has a 112-year tradition of not only family and community and service, but of training our members, making sure that we've kept up with technology, giving our members an opportunity to make a better living. We believe that there is dignity in work. We believe that there is a necessary to give a fair day's pay and a fair day's work, and that they go hand in hand down the road, and that we want to make sure that our members are in a unique position to be able, even in times of economic distress, even to have opportunities for work, and that's through training and an opportunity for us to work together. And we've been very, very successful with it. We have a city, state, and federal apprenticeship training program where we bring in many times we have record number of applicants come down, but we're training about 50 members every year to be licensed by the city of New York to work on high-pressure boilers, to work on refrigeration equipment, to work on very sophisticated technological systems, green building systems, to make sure that we're on the cutting edge for our city to operate everything as efficiently and as effectively as we can.
And that's no small feat when you figure that, yes, technology is moving at such a rapid pace, but it is very necessary to move forward with it. Otherwise, you know, as they would say back in Mayo or Limerick, it's all upper-ashka. It's a lot of work for nothing unless, you know, and we won't talk about teaching old dogs new tricks, Mike, because that would be very unfair and that might be misinterpreted as well. So, but it's very true. The while we're at it, we might as well mention you've received so many awards, including, of course, the United Irish Counties. The Cork Association honoring you, the 250th anniversary of the St. Patrick's Day Parade, and being honored numerous times by the City Council. That and add as many more to it. That does not come because you're just a nice fella or a great after-dinner speaker. That comes because of the significance and because of the very strong support of not only your union, but several unions that have a tremendous sense of cooperation, which is something I'd like to point out. Is that if you are, and you are the business manager and the person who runs Local 30, There's a lot of strength, and there are a lot of, in other locals, but also outside of your union, there is a lot of support and camaraderie, understanding that makes all of this very worthwhile.
Well, without a doubt, Adrian, I've been very lucky to be able to do a job that I love for a long time. And as the business manager of Local 30, I have the best membership in the world. It's very humbling, to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it puts you into a position with their support and their help. I've been put in a position to be able to work with other unions when there's a problem, to be able to assist other unions when there's a problem, to be able to work with other unions on issues of the community that we can work on together, to work with the politicians, and have an opportunity to really make our mark felt. Not just my mark, but I think that the United Irish Counties, the Cork Association,
yes,
is not only an honor for me, and without a doubt it is, and I was taken back by it.
Oh, yeah, you were
father and grandfather in the Cork Association for more years than I want to go back. But the fact
you
that
you were walking with the chest out,
yes,
and he was a different fellow than we see today. But it is.
I was younger then also. I was younger. That was in 2000. But, you know, it gives us a unique opportunity. But that's what the labor movement's about. You said it before yourself. You know, that this particular disaster, this particular problem, is not the first time that the labor movement came out. It's not the first time that working people came out. 9/11 wasn't the first time that people responded and volunteered and really gave above and beyond. You know, it's something that goes on each and every day. It's the cop that reaches down to help the person out of the gutter. It's the guy working in the subway that makes sure that things go right. It's the sanitation man that goes a little bit of an extra step. The unsung heroes in New York, the working people in New York that make this city hum. The fireman who goes into the building and makes sure, well, he could stop outside, but he makes sure that the building is vacant or saves a person. Mm-hmm. Those are really the stories of New York. And those are the stories that aren't changing with this new generation.
And there are many of those categories that do not get the same recognition. We talk first responders, that covers a multitude, but you're talking about people who are typically the easiest one to pick out of there is the ambulance driver who has to go through lights, who has to take enormous risks, personal risks, to get and to provide immediate help. There are so many of them across the board who we have a tendency to say, okay, there are too many, so let's call them first responders. Every one of those jobs absolutely dangerous, and not for everybody. That's for sure. Is that a bit of
When I need somebody to give me a hand as a person, when you need someone, I'm not going to say, well, I think this guy might be making too much money. I think I'm going to go with a lower bidder. We want the most qualified person we can to respond. And it's not only the person, the cop, the fireman that you see all the time. It's the guy working for the telephone company that's down there in terrible conditions, exposing himself to everything he can to make sure that it works. It's the electrician that's down in the sewer, making sure that the connection's there. It's the tunnel worker, the sand hog, that when there is a problem, they put him in there to make sure that there's the water tunnel is working, that we have a Second Avenue subway, that this is clear or that's clear. And it can go through each and
every
one.
Let's add to that one also, Jack. While many of us are listening to radio or watching television or being told if you don't have to go out, don't. And you have a water main break. Mm-hmm. You have, again, either a fire, but some kind of an emergency that, because of adverse conditions, they don't have the luxury of saying, well, let's wait for this to blow over. Let's wait for, you know, okay, tough. It's, you know, it's chipping. Are heading for 0 degrees Fahrenheit. This can wait. It can't wait. That's not what it's about.
Well, my members and a lot of the other first responders we mentioned, when there is a blizzard, when there is a natural disaster, they're either on the job or going to the job. And in recognition of that, and Mike referred to it before, our international and James Callahan, I'm very proud to say, business manager of Local 15 out of New York, is now the general president, has put into effect a disaster relief fund so that our members that are responding, our members that are affected by these disasters, get money immediately. They don't have to wait for the insurance company. They don't have to wait for FEMA. They get a check. They fill out a form to make sure that they are, in fact, affected by it, of course. Like everything else, there's certain rules. But at that time, they're able to get up to $20,000. And Jim Callahan, as the general president, has made this a hallmark of his operation down there in Washington, where I send down the application the man filled out. It seems like the next day there's a check back, and I'm calling him up saying, hey, Mike, hey, Adrian, listen, come on over. There's money here for you to get you started. And that's something that the operating engineers have. We're not the only ones. I know the ironworkers and others have the same, but I think it's a credit to the working people. It's a credit to the leadership. And I have to mention that, you know, Jim Callahan was the Grand Marshal of the Rockaway Day Parade in 2008, and you've been picked a great man, and we have a great man to run our international. Thank you for that, Michael.
Now, Mike, I just want to ask you something, and this is only in passing, and it's between ourselves, so you don't have to worry about what anybody else's reaction would be. But if there are photographs which show, you know, a Grand Marshal of the St. Patrick's Day Parade for 2000, and then there's this older fellow who shows up in 2013... are there going to be some who say, wait, what happened? What happened in those 13 years? Look at the cut of them now.
He got all the reminders.
No, I'm just talking about a potential problem there. But most definitely, to have not only the Rockaway Parade and the Queens County, let's make sure we know that this is the official Queens County St. Patrick's Day Parade. You know, for those who might have thought of it, I'm sure they wouldn't have brought it up anyway, but there may be those who say, why would you take people now into a disaster area where people have enough of their, you know, own difficulties. Many are, you know, living not even living close to Rockaway, because that's not, the Rockaways and Breezy, that is not an option for them. I'm sure there are those who say, though, that's going to be a huge eye-opener for people who come and who attend and who support the Queens County Parade in Rockaway, because Rockaway is not okay yet, despite all of the assistance. And I'm delighted that you mentioned the Irish government, Noel Kilkenny, Peter Ryan, and in particular the Irish organizations, Emerald Isle, Ashling, the New York Irish Center, and thousands of others who came out of the woodwork to join and latch on to organizations, even. That's the type of support across the board. But don't you think that there are going to be a great number of people who will attend and participate in your parade who are going to say, why hasn't more happened? Why is there still debris? Why are houses still looking? Why are the boardwalks? Why? And isn't this kind of a shame? What's your...
Well, Adrian, how many hours we got this morning on the program? because we could go into a whole litany of the whys. But really, you know, the parade now will open a lot of people's eyes, because it's cold now. Everybody knows the East Coast is extremely cold. Has been cold all week long. People are sitting in homes. They have power coming into the house, but that's it. They have no boilers in the house. Yeah. They have no hot water. There's nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a reality. It's not a game show. This is what you're dealing with down there. And the devastation, where we start the parade in 129th Street, everybody says, well, you can't show. I said, wait a minute. We've been up in this. This is our 38th parade. We started the parade at this spot for 38 years, and we're going to start the parade in the same spot.
You know, Adrian, I got to tell you, as they say in Cork, all right, and it's the spirit of the Rockaways, once down, isn't out, play them again with a bigger ball. I mean, the spirit of Queens County, the spirit of the Rockaways is, listen, we're back, we're going to be bigger than ever. We're going to make sure that we build it and do it the right way, and we want to let everybody know that we're here, and we're going to make sure that we're standing tall and enjoying ourselves on that day and taking a lot of pride in what the community has accomplished. And when my Mike and the committee came to me and said, would you consider it? I said, would I consider it? I was bowled over with the honor, I have to tell you, to have an opportunity to be there and to witness this change, because out of the problems, I think Rockaway and Queens has emerged stronger than it ever was before, and the recognition now that it's receiving is tremendous.
It says something also that the Queens County St. Patrick's Committee, who have run their own gig on St. Patrick's mornings, even in when Rockaway was the focus was on Rockaway and the second largest parade in New York, but they have now changed. I don't know what Anson's is going to do with the time for the breakfast, but if anybody is looking for a last-minute vacancy, maybe they could get in touch. Don't say I sent you. But it is, this is, again, because the word has spread. And first of all, a lot of progress has been made. A lot of assistance has come to Rockaway. But if you had as much more, it is still not something that, again, to be very honest and upfront, Rockaway is not going to be the Rockaway of last summer, probably for some time to come. Yeah. But if, as Jack O'Hearn says, if the challenge is there, and if there is no choice, you can't take communities, coastal communities, anywhere, but particularly in the New York, and let's take in New Jersey and Connecticut and places, because when there is a disaster, it really doesn't make that much difference whether you're what race or what color, what religion, what occupation you have. Devastation is devastation. But having said that, I think that a lot of people will experience when they go to Rockaway, they will see what hard work, what dedication, and what actually what volunteers can do, what financial support can do, what labor union support, and this is before the promised monies come in, but it's an awful lot more than writing a check.
Yes.
And I think we have to understand that. And all the hoopla about what happened with respect to, the Republicans, there's enough blame to go around. If that's what we're looking for, there's plenty of blame to go around. Bottom line is that Rockaway is on the way back. It will be a different Rockaway. It will be indeed one that hopefully will indeed whatever else the spirit is there might have been dampened, but we're going to get past that. And so, listen. With that in mind, Anya Sheridan thinks that we should mention, like the dinner date and where that's taking place.
Yeah, Anton's our main fundraiser dance. The only fundraiser that we have for the Rockaway Parade this year because of everything happening is on Saturday, February 16th at 8 p.m. at Anton's in Springfield Boulevard. Mm-hmm. Joe King out there and Mickey King do a fantastic job.
Yeah.
And they're very gracious hosts. Our parade is Saturday, March 3rd, always the first Saturday in March.
Right.
March 2nd. Let me correct myself. See, I get blown away here with Adrian's.
If you go down on Sunday, that'll be fine because that would actually suit us better.
A day late in the pound shy. It's
the major rollout of parades. Now, I just want to go back to the dance and your fundraiser. I assume that you're going to have the honorary Grand Marshals there as well, Timothy Fox, Superintendent, New York City Department of Sanitation.
Yes.
And from Mayo, if I may mention, in passing, never passing up an opportunity to mention the home county, Sheila Lynott Hurricane. And she is the president of the Irish Business Organization.
Right.
The Gale of the Year is Hilary Byrne, and he is the executive secretary director of the St. Patrick's Day Parade, New York. But it's always a good event. It's always one, as I say, this one is the single fundraiser that is going to help out in this situation here. And so that's on February 16th.
That's at 8 p.m. at Anton's. And if you're looking for any information on it, hopefully we'll have our website back up. As everybody knows, all our equipment from the parade committee was washed away in Sandy. We're working right now. But we still have our parade website. It's queenscountyparade.org. It should be up and running by this weekend, if not by the following week. We're working on it as we speak. You'll find all the information on the honorees. And like I said, Jack Ahern is our Grand Marshal. And we're very thankful and grateful to Jack for accepting the honor and coming back down to the Rockaways and leading us as he has led the labor movement here in New York, you know.
Right.
And even though he's not from Limerick or Mayo, we'll open the door to Cork, so, you know.
Well, I have some degree of coverage here considering that my grandfather came from Cork. However, he didn't come from Cork crowing up to Mayo. He needed a job as a teacher. So that's what. So, again, to your members and to many of those who are committed.
Yeah.
Again, we're not talking about past tense. There is, and there is going to be a great need to continue the support.
Yeah.
Far Rockaway, far Breezy Point. You had mentioned Long Beach. As well. I have a personal interest there in that my own family and grandchildren are at Long Beach, which, again, is a struggling area. But there's one theme that does come through for any of the areas, which I suppose is personified in that Rockaway, Breezy Point, Long Beach area, is that nobody is throwing their hands up and saying, you know, it's time to move, it's time to look somewhere else. The only people, unfortunately, who are saying that are those who won't have a choice, because there are many areas where, with all the goodwill in the world, with all of the support from the various organizations, that option, unfortunately, will not be available. But I don't think that too many people who live in those coastal areas won't do their level best to get back into the area. And I think you're going to see many who have spent generations in that area, they'll find a way to get back.
Adrian, I know we're near the end of the program. I'd just like to say,
according to Anya Sheridan, it ended a half hour.
I did. You better turn the clock on a little bit more on you. But just a few little points I'd just like to get across.
Go ahead.
Hearing Jack talk and yourself speak about the labor movement, we're all intricately involved with the labor movement. And You know, we could spend hours just talking about it, you know, and been involved with the labor movement all my life myself. I'm deeply saddened at the way, even though I firmly believe in supporting politicians of either party, mm-hmm. has always supported us. Okay, us, I mean, you know, in mm-hmm. general overall. But the way, well, like I said, that's another time. But what I'd like to say is we've, on March 2nd, when we have our parade in the Rockaways, we've, as a way of giving back to the people that helped us out so much in the Rockaways, mm-hmm. and we're given a special award this year to 10 members of the New York community, the overall New York community. And one is we're extending to yourself. We're giving a Falchi Award, Adrian, and it signifies our thanks and to you. I'm asking, you know, mention it to you now personally because you were there with us and shared our pain and sorrow and the mourning after. Okay, and you've countless other interviews on the air, and you brought the message of the Irish in the Rockaways, not only the Irish, but all the communities, Long Beach, Brooklyn, Rockaway, Breezy Point. You know, all you brought the message out, Adrian. You were leading the charge there in the forefront, and we'd like, you know, to you to accept the honor of our Falchi Award.
Well, I thank you, and now I am delighted to be able to look at on your shirt and say, isn't it a good job? This interview went on as long as this, because that's what I was waiting for.
I'm sorry, Anya, I apologize.
Don't take it lightly, and I definitely, you know, as Jack had mentioned before, I'm coming from Queens County and coming from the Rockaways, I think, for many a decade. It's a very special place, and I'm looking forward to it. Again, the date, friends, Anton's in Queens Village, and that is Saturday, February 16th. And again, the Queens County Parade, Saturday, March 2nd. Mass, as usual, at 9 a.m., and that's at St. Francis.
St. Francis de Sales, Beach 129.
Yeah, and they weren't without, you know, they got wrapped as well, and badly.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a breakfast, there's a brunch that follows, and the parade begins at Beach 129th Street at 12:45 p.m., which gives us 45 minutes to finish our program on that day and get down to Rockaway.
We'll have a place escort for you now, no
Thank
problem.
You. And otherwise, I'll miss out on the Falchi Award, thank you. And again, Jack Ahern, we're delighted. And only the begrudgers would say that, you know, here's a fella that has gotten this award and this recognition twice in a lifetime, when as close as I'll ever come to being Grand Marshal of the Rockaway Parade is this Falchi Award. But listen, I'm on your side.
Thank you.
Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA. Might give that website again, which if it's not up and running now, will be.
Okay, it's www.queenscountyparade.org.
And you're listening, friends, to Irish Radio Network, USA. My guest, Mike Benn, again, who is the chairman of the Queens County St. Patrick's Day Parade Committee, mayor of Rockaway, and if he's not, he should be, and of course, our good friend and community leader, Jack Ahern, business manager, for the International Union of Operating Engineers, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.